Good morning. Hey, my name is Pastor Jeremy. If I hadn't got a chance to meet you yet, I would love to connect with you after service today. But Tuesday, what a wonderful night. I mean, this place was packed. It was packed. Like, we had chairs down the aisle here. Like, it was a great night. Our youth ministry got up here and sang a song for everybody. We just had a lot of fun that night. But can we give them, who's in charge of helping doing all that, this huge hand clap? God is good. God is good. You know, another thing that's been really cool that I'm really encouraged by with our church is that last night we did a call for our youth because they're going to be going to a youth conference in June, a youth week retreat. And up to this point, we almost have all the money to get the children registered. Registered. We're almost there. Need a couple $100, and then we will be sending. At this moment, we have 7 youth kids going to this event. We have 3 more spots. So if you know of anybody who would love to go to this event, reach out to Crystal. She'd love to answer any of those questions for you. But I believe we're going to fill all 10 of those spots, and all those kids are going to be able to go and experience Jesus and have fun and be exciting and come back as our new generation of leaders in our church. That's what I'm praying for. So, you know, what an amazing time. But anyway, so let's jump in here. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Go for it. Yes, partially. I'm going to challenge you today. I'm going to challenge all of you, I hope, and realize that Christmas is more than just gifts under a tree and lights. It's even more than Jesus being born. We celebrate his birthday. It's even more than that. And we'll get to that. But I know I'm going to talk on my behalf. Now, Christmas has always been a struggle for me because of things that's happened in my past and growing up extremely poor and actually through my life being extremely poor. Christmas was just a hard time for our family. And so we weren't able to afford a bunch of gifts and all these things. So we usually saved up our money and we would take the kids on vacation, because we believed in the memories were more valuable than the toys that we would buy. And then a month later, they're either broken and or they're in the trash or they're not playing with them anymore. We wanted to give lasting memories. But Christmas is a time of celebration. The Christmas trees, the lights, the music, Santa Claus, with an occasional nativity set of Jesus in a manger and the 3 wise men. We'll get to that later on a different day. Everywhere we look, it seems like everyone is happy. They're caught up in the festive cheer. There's magic in the season, the excitement, and even the joy of the family gatherings. But again, if I'm honest, there's been many times I've struggled to understand why we put so much emphasis on celebrating a Santa Claus and all these things, and not the man who came into the world to give us a reason to even have a Christmas. And that man is Jesus Christ. It's easy to get caught up with the distractions of the season, the commercialism, the presents, and the image of Santa flying through the sky and landing on your roof. And while none of these are inherently wrong, it can sometimes feel like the true meaning of Christmas is overshadowed by a fairy tale. The story of Santa, as chanting as it is for many children, has become a focus point for so many people. And is often found, I've also found myself, how did we get here? How did we stray so far from the truth? Maybe you've asked the same questions. I know that I have many. Especially those in the seasons where life feels especially heavy, when I'm carrying burdens I don't know how to shake, and in those moments I wonder, does he truly understand my pain and my doubt? But the more I dive into the truth of the meaning of Christmas, the more I realize that with some study of the Bible, the answer is right in front of me. If I look hard and I ask the right questions, I find myself confronted with the incarnation of God. The incarnation of Jesus. Jesus coming into a world as a baby. And the truth that God became human. Jesus didn't come to live a life of privilege or ease. He came to walk a path in the pain and the temptation and the rejection that we all suffer with in our own lives. When I reflect on this, I'm struck by the fact that God didn't choose to enter this world as some grand display of power, which is what those people were hoping back in that time. He chose vulnerability. He chose to be born a baby, helpless, dependent on others. And I've also often thought about why he came that way. And I believe it's because God wanted to show us something absolutely incredible. He doesn't stand far off in our struggles. He steps into them. He knows what it's like. He's been there. There's something so comforting that when I'm going through hard times, when I feel like no one understands, I can rest in the truth that God gets it. Jesus didn't come to observe life from afar. He stepped in. He lived it. He knows what it's like to face our heartaches and our pain, to fear, experience rejection, temptation, and to wrestle with fear and doubt. Sometimes we want to put a cape on Jesus as if he's Superman. Nowhere in Scripture does that show that. Jesus came into our world as a human to show us an example. Get this. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says, whom being the very nature of God did not consider equality with God. Get this, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This passage emphasizes Jesus' humility and his willingness to embrace our human vulnerability, our suffering, and be the ultimate sacrifice. That's what Christmas is really about. Get this, it's not about just the birth of the baby, Jesus. It's about the fact that God himself chose to come down from heaven to be with us. He chose to step down off of his throne to come down and live a life and be a sacrifice that none of us could ever achieve. He chose to enter into our world, to step into our mess, to feel what it feels like, and to offer us his love and redemption. So this Christmas, I want us to remind you that something that has been so life-changing to me, Jesus understands everything that you're going through. He has been through everything that you've been through and more. And you need to know that he is with you during this time. He didn't just come to be a distant figure in history. He came to walk with you, to be close to you, to bring you hope. That's the real gift of Christmas, the presence of God with us, understanding us, loving us, and offering us the hope that we so desperately need. So we have a common human struggle in all of this. We live in a world where pain, disappointment, and doubt seem to be a part of everyday life. Whether it's the personal struggle, unmet expectations, or difficult seasons, or we find ourselves just asking the question, does God really understand what I'm going through? These kind of questions we all have wrestled with at some point in time. Life isn't always easy, and sometimes the weight of our circumstances can make God feel so distant. But the truth is, God does understand. He isn't removed from our pain. He enters into it with us. Christmas can come with a weight of expectations. At Christmas, we can often, it often feels like the world is putting on a show of perfection. Everywhere we look, there's images of happy families, perfect gifts, flawless moments, the light, the music, the festive cheer. They all seem to highlight how everyone else has it all together. But for some of us, this season can feel heavy. The weight of imperfection. Maybe it's your first holiday without a loved one. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a close family member. Perhaps you're facing financial struggles that limit what you can give your kids and the people that you love. These things can make the holiday season feel anything but perfect. But here's the good news. Christmas isn't about perfection. It's about Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. It's a reminder that even when our lives feel far from perfect, God is with us right in the midst of our mess. The Christmas story reminds us that God entered a broken world through the birth of his son, Jesus, to bring light and salvation. Jesus was born into an imperfect world because as fully God and fully man, we're going to talk about that, as fully God and fully man, he understands our weaknesses and sympathizes with all of our struggles. Luke 19:10 talks about he came not for the righteous, but he came to seek and save the lost, offering hope and healing and redemption to all who turn to him in faith. So even when life's challenges make it hard for us to feel God's presence, we can hold on to the truth that he is near. The Christmas story reminds us that God entered into this world not as a distant, untouchable figure, but as a vulnerable baby, fully human, to show us that he understands our pain. And because he understands, he brings hope. This Christmas, let's remember that the perfection we long for isn't found in those flawless moments that we talked about, but it's in a Savior who loves us perfectly, who walks with us through every struggle, and who promises to be with us always. No matter where you are or what you're facing today, God is with you. He is Emmanuel. He understands, he cares, he brings hope into every situation. And that's the real joy of Christmas. So you've heard me say a couple things. You've heard me talk about Jesus being a man. You've heard me talk about Jesus being God. We talked about Emmanuel, God with us. What does that mean? So John 1:14, most of us know, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So in 1 John 14, we see an incredible truth of that incarnation. The incarnation of Jesus refers to the biblical Christian doctrine that the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, took on human nature and became fully human while remaining fully divine. Wow. Right? This means that in Jesus Christ, God became flesh to dwell among us, experiencing life as a human being. The purpose of the incarnation was to reveal God to humanity, provide a perfect example of righteous living, the ultimate salvation through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So think of it this way. Imagine a king being in his kingdom in an area, and he had so much love and compassion for his people, but he could use any resource that he wanted to help the people who were struggling in his kingdom. But he was driven by love and compassion and heart that he wasn't sure how. I'm just giving a reference here, so don't take this out of context. The only way he was really going to be able to understand the people that he loved and cared about was for him to leave his kingdom, become one of those people, and live amongst them so that he could figure out how to fix them and how to help them. Far too often, we want to stand back and throw things at problems and issues instead of get into them with people and do life with them and help them through that. So think about it. He left his kingdom to come down to live amongst us so that he could... Here's the other cool thing. I can't get there yet, but Jesus had to go through these things in order for him to be the ultimate fulfilling atonement for our sins. Amen. We're gonna get there. I love this stuff. God became flesh. This isn't God appearing as a man. It is God fully entering into our experience. Notice it says, the Word became flesh. The Greek word for this, for flesh, is called sarx. Sarx means a physical body, a human nature, or even the sinful nature of humanity. This emphasizes he became flesh. I'll say it this way. Jesus, God, added humanity to his deity. He added humanity to it by wrapping himself in flesh. We're going to get there. You guys blown up? Is your mind going crazy yet? I love it. This emphasizes that God in the man Jesus took on the fullness or the flesh of a human life with all of its vulnerabilities, limitations, and struggles, but without sin. Now this brings me to a new question as I'm going through this. I have a new question that pops up. I love questioning. Why would God choose to become finite and weak? Why would he choose to come down here? And I'll tell you why. Because he loves you. He did it out of love. He came to be with us, to show us that he is not distant, but present. He entered into our world to understand us and to feel what we feel and help a world that is broken by sin. God doesn't care how much money's in your bank account. He doesn't care how you climb the success ladder at work. Those things don't matter to him. He came down to fix a world that was broken by sin. You ready for some theological terms now? To back up all this stuff that I'm saying? Hypostatic union. You ever heard of hypostatic union? I love it. Hypostatic, it's a theological term. It means that Jesus is both fully God and fully human at the same time. We don't have to go very far to find out that people teach and preach a different thing. We don't have to go very far. Jesus is both fully God and fully human at the same time. He's not half God. He's not half human. He's not the brother of Satan. He's not the offspring of God. He is God wrapped in flesh. He is 100% God and 100% man. I could close this thing and we could walk out the door right now. This is what the Bible teaches. John 1:14 is teaching us that. The Bible highlights that the eternal Word, equaling Jesus, took on the human nature and lived among humanity, fully embodied by divinity and humanity. God and man. Another verse to back this. Colossians 2:9 also clearly illustrates the coexistence of Jesus' divine and human natures in one person. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. There's more. This verse emphasizes that Jesus is fully God and with a complete divine nature while also living in a physical human body. Here's another word for us, kenosis. This describes how Jesus can relate to us as a human, while also being able to be the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins in the world. Kenosis means that Jesus emptied himself when he became human. Even though he was still fully God, he chose not to use his divine power for himself. Instead, he lived humbly, being born as a baby, growing up as we do, learning and doing. He learned and going to school, serving others, and ultimately giving his life on the cross to save us. I will open a whole can of worms on you. Sometimes I got to think that in order for Jesus to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, he had to experience all of it. The growing up, the loss of his dad, Joseph. All of these things he had to go through in order for this to happen. So this kenosis means that he emptied himself. I've heard it said like this, that Jesus walked around with a credit card that said 77777, expiration date, eternity. That he had this card that he could walk around and do anything that he wanted, anytime he wanted, but he tucked it away in his pocket and never had to pull it out. He was tempted to pull it out when he was in the wilderness. He was tempted to pull it out. Oh man, I'm going way off topic now. Kenosis. Love it. Even though he was still fully God, he chose not to use his divine power for himself. Instead, he lived humbly, being born as a baby, growing up as we do, learning, going to school, all the things that we had to experience. It's like Jesus set aside his privilege as God to experience life fully as a human and dying for us. Get this. I'm not just giving you guys stuff that this is out of the Word. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin." He gets us. He's walked the walk like us. This verse assures us that Christ's full empathy, his temptations and his sufferings were real, enabling him to understand the human struggles. So in short, Jesus is both fully God and fully human. Hypostatic, which is the hypostatic union, and he humbled himself by not using his divine power for his own benefits, which would be kenosis, in order to save us. And like I said, I bet your mind's just spinning right now. Pastor Jeremy, how can you say this? He humbled himself by not using his divine power. Didn't he do all these miracles? Now you're questioning, right? Now that I brought it out. No? See, some people get it. Well, he did. But check this out. In John 14:10, it's Jesus. This is in red print. Should be in red. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Isn't that good? Here's another one. John 5:30 says, by myself I can do nothing. This is red print. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I speak not to please myself, but him who has sent me. So what about all these miracles, right? Jesus states right here that it is the Father working in him. Remember at Jesus' baptism and the Spirit of God fell on him? Jesus walked in the Spirit. Showed us how we could walk in the Spirit. Because later on, Jesus goes, you will do even greater things. You will do even greater things than he's done in the short amount of time he was here. And how do we do these things? We walk in the Spirit. When I lay hands on somebody and I pray with them in the Spirit and with everything that comes out of me, it ain't me healing them, it's the Father healing them. We never take credit. Jesus, in his humanity, never took credit for it. It was the Father working through him. So, the only one miracle that I can't wrap my mind around, I can point almost every miracle back to the Father working through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to perform miracles. Almost every one, but one. I'm going to tell you because I don't know the answer to this. Walking on water. I couldn't figure that one out. That one does not make sense to me because normally it was always he was healing somebody or he's helping somebody or doing something, but we got this one instance, but I think it was a perfect example of saying he has power over nature. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And all things were created through him just to prove himself. There are so many more verses that support this topic, but we must move on. Maybe one day I'll teach on these things more in depth in a discipleship group. I love this stuff. So what do we do about this? John 1:16 says, out of his fullness, we have all received grace in a place of grace already given. This reminds us that God's grace is abundant, renewing itself every day, even in our pain. Now let me ask you, are you struggling to believe that God understands your pain sometimes? Do you feel like you're just sitting there wondering, like, and your prayers just feel like they're hitting the ceiling and bouncing right back down? And if you're like me, you felt the loss and the sting of loss, grieving someone who won't be at the Christmas table this year. The season that's supposed to be joyful only magnifies the ache in our heart sometimes. Or perhaps the anxiety is weighing you down. You feel the pressure to keep up with the family next door. The perfect decorations, the perfect gifts. You're spending money that you don't have. You're falling deeper into debt just to make it through the season. Maybe you dread the same argument with your spouse about money or about family. The tensions rise and you wonder, will it ever change? You worry the kids will be disappointed again, that they think less of you because you couldn't give them what you wanted. Maybe you made some mistakes and hurt somebody that you loved, and because of that, the only real gift that you have to offer them is forgiveness, but they won't come and they won't listen. And in the midst of all these things, you might feel like, God, where are you? You're tired, frustrated, maybe even questioning if he's really there at all. But here's the truth. The incarnation of God in Jesus is the answer to that pain. Because we don't celebrate all of these things because of gifts and lights and Christmas trees. We celebrate this because God came down from heaven to be with us. Again, I didn't say it's not about Jesus in the manger. It's about, that's part of it. But the main point is that God loved us so much that he left his kingdom to come down here to save us all. That's the point. Jesus didn't stay distant. He stepped into our brokenness, into our exhaustion, into our hurts, and he's saying to you right now that he does see you, that he does know you, and that he is with you. And in all that, there is grace. Grace for every failure, every fear, every moment of doubt. His grace is enough during this season. The incarnation, the Word becoming flesh, was God stepping into our messes. Personally, it was God stepping into the mess of the world. Jesus experienced hunger, rejection, and even deep sorrow. Let me explain that. Imagine, I was talking with somebody yesterday, imagine growing up as one of Jesus' siblings. Do you know how annoying that would be? You guys get it, don't you? That would be so annoying, having a brother who can't lie. Do you know how much trouble I would be in? Think about it. Jesus' perfectness almost makes us look worse. And the lens of his perfectness makes us look even worse than what we are. I would struggle with Jesus having me as him as my brother. A perfect guy. So think about that. Imagine how he grew up. It wasn't just in his family. It was everywhere he went. People like to be around other people in their sin because they feel less bad about their sin. Jesus went through some hard stuff growing up. We're going to get into that because next week we're going to talk about some prophecy and talk about some things that point to some of the things that Jesus had to go through for all of this to happen. It's going to be great. Jesus went through a lot. He was hungry. He wept. He cried. He went to school. He learned. He studied. Just like us. The only difference is he had 100% communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. What would it look like for you to trust that Jesus is present in your pain, in your Christmas, in the good, in the bad? Maybe it's choosing to pray even more when you don't feel like it. Asking him to meet you where you are. Sometimes we say, God, I want to go here. Sometimes he says, I want to meet you right here. Perhaps it's opening your Bible and finding the comfort in his promises and learning on the community and leaning on your community here at the church for support and faith. Imagine if you believe that his grace is enough, even when life feels unbearable. It might shift your perspective, giving you a peace in the storm or a strength to take that very next step that you are so fearful of doing. This Christmas, let's respond to his invitation. Trust him in your pain. knowing his grace is sufficient for all of your needs. So how can we live this out together? This Christmas, let's not just celebrate the birth of Christ. We are all called to live it out. Jesus is our example. If we're following Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, that means you follow and you do what they do. We like the ideal of eternity and like to say that I'm a Christian, but we don't like to do what Jesus did. But we want to claim to be a follower of Jesus. That means forgive when it's hard. That means, like Peter, we talked about a couple weeks ago, that Jesus didn't scold him for denying him. He encouraged him to take the next step. He didn't keep him back here. He pushed him forward. He's like, if I did that, you're going to get stuck back here. And I need you to keep moving. I got plans for you. I got a purpose for you. I got dreams for you. It means being selfless. That's the biggest one. And thinking of other people before ourselves. As a community, we have an incredible opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus to one another and those in our community. The incarnation is not just a past event. It is a present reality. And we are his body, called to reflect his presence and grace to everyone around us. How can we remind each other of God's closeness? It starts by just showing up. You can't know God's closeness if you're too busy doing your thing. Just show up. When somebody's hurting, let's be there. Even if it's through a phone call. A visit says a million things to somebody who needs a visit. Did you know if you feel lonely, a cure for loneliness is to find somebody else who's lonely? Let that one sink in. If you struggle with loneliness, find somebody else who struggles with loneliness and hang out with them. There's your cure for loneliness. You know, through a phone call, a visit, or even quiet time in prayer with him, let's listen without judgment, offering the same compassion that Jesus shows us. Even when we make mistakes and we have the courage to reach out to somebody, if you're that person that's being reached out to, just listen. We don't need to be fixers. That's his job. How can we be God in the flesh in this season? Think about the people around you who are struggling. Maybe it's a family member that's barely getting by. Could you bring them a meal or help with a gift? Maybe it's someone grieving. Could you simply sit with them and remind them that they're not alone? Small acts of love can reveal the deep truths of God's presence. This reminds me, we will be participating in Angel Tree. It was a last minute thing for the school of Mac Lyon Middle School. This is us going to help people, kids in our neighborhood, in our community, that don't have the blessings that some of us have. And so we're going to make it super simple this year because it's a last minute thing and just felt the need that we need to help our community. We want to partner with them, and we need some gifts by December the 13th. If you get them, there's a list of things that they're looking for. We're not taking angels off the tree, but we're just going to get some fill-in stuff. So the underwear, toothpaste, all of this stuff, we're just going to throw it in a box, and we're going to take it out there and give it to them so that they can not just provide for one or two kids, but the whole family can be provided for. And so if you're willing to do that, that is us being the hands and feet of Jesus in the time of Christmas. That's what it's about. Amen. So there's a list. Please grab a list on your way out. It's on the table. And by next week, I'll have a box. I'm in here usually all through the week. If I'm here, stop in, drop some stuff off. Let's be the church. Let's not just come to church. Let's be the church. Again, it's due by December 13th. There's a lot of things on that list. Let's be a blessing to a family in our community this holiday, right? Let's share stories with people about how God has met us in our struggles and brought us out of them. Testimonies of his faithfulness can encourage someone who feels like giving up feels like somebody giving up. Let's just say it that way. We have an opportunity to give the love and the grace and the stories that God has done in us to other people. So here's the challenge. This Christmas, let's not just talk about Jesus being born. Let's live it out. Let's live it out. Let's be a community that embodies God's love, making his presence known in a real, tangible way. Together, we can show the world that Jesus didn't just come 2,000 years ago, but he is alive and he is working through his people right here and right now. I had to get an amen right there. Come on. Let's step out in faith. Let's love boldly, give generously, serve selfishly, selflessly. I got them guys laughing. Give generously, live selflessly. We need to keep reminding ourselves that this is the reason why we come. This is the reason why we get to celebrate that God stepped off his throne to be with us. As we close today, I'm going to do this every week because I don't know if you're new. I don't know if God brings somebody through that door for the very first time looking for hope, looking for the answers that the world has never been able to answer. So they try their one last thing, and that's walk through the doors of the church. And so as we close today, I want to remind everyone of one powerful truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, stepped into our world, not from a distance, but up close and personal. He entered our mess, our brokenness, and our imperfection because he loves us that much. Jesus didn't stay far off watching from heaven. He came down to experience what we experienced, to walk where we walked, to live, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. So that we might have life in him. The incarnation of Jesus is God's ultimate act of love, showing that no matter how far we've gone or how broken we are, he's willing to enter into our lives and bring healing and hope and redemption. Today, Jesus is still standing at the door of your heart, ready to make his home in your heart and make his home with you. He's offering peace and joy and eternal life, not because you've earned it. Did you know you can't earn God's love? That's another thing that y'all need to know. You can't earn it. We don't deserve it. That's why Jesus came. For you are saved by grace through faith. By faith. Just trusting. Not because you earned it, but because he's made a way for you. His arms are wide open, inviting you to surrender him. So today I ask, will you open your hearts and let God who has become flesh live in you? Will you say yes to the one who's already given the gift? He's already given a gift, and some of us haven't even opened it up yet. The perfect gift, the eternal gift, and we just need to open it up. If you need purpose, if you need life, if you need just something different in your life, Jesus is the answer. So with every head bowed, every eye shut, all we have to do is surrender. It's super easy. It's by faith you are saved through grace, and this is not of your own doing. You just need to reach out, open the door to Jesus, and he comes in. And he saves you. He forgives you. of all these things. If that's you and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, then don't wait. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed as soon as you pull off this parking lot. And if you don't know Jesus, you missed it. You didn't open the gift. But today, the gift is standing right there, waiting for you to open the door. If that's you and you haven't made a decision for Jesus, please just slip your hand up. Every head bowed, every eye shut. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Great, so pray this prayer with me. I'll pray it over you. How about that? I'm just going to pray this over you. Father in heaven, we humbly come here today to learn something new about you, that Christmas is not about the lights. It's not about all these things that the world portrays that looks nice and pretty and all this, but it's about you stepping into our world. Father, we reach out in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of our sins. We reach out knowing that the perfect gift has already been given. We stand here today to open that gift. So forgive us of our sins. Help us to find purpose in you. Help us to be your hands and feet in a time and a place such as this where somebody would need our help. Let us be generous. Let us walk in faith and trust. God, I pray that today and the rest of this week that we would slow down long enough to see you at work in somebody's life and that you would invite us into that situation that we may be able to be a blessing to somebody. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we can't wait to see what your word says about Jesus when we go back into some of the Old Testament prophecy. So, Father, speak to us today. We love you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.